Grown already has a taste for freedom, while Gormenghast is increasingly under the murderous influence of the former kitchen boy, Steerpike.
Everything that I am, everything that I have ever been or ever will be, is centred in Gormenghast.
Yes, I know that.
I believe you do. Perhaps that is why I'm here now, with you, on this island. I feel as if I am just beginning to find answers to a great many questions.
I am simply an artist, Titus. I paint what I see.
But your pictures paint my memories. This one.
A great castle, withdrawn and ruinous, rising in prodigious acres of ruthless granite and stretching away to the horizon in archipelagos of time and weather-beaten stonework hunched and solitary like stranded monsters.
On, boy! Faster! Faster!
Who is this child galloping through the early morning sunlight?
I am Titus, 77th Earl of Gormenghast.
Suckled on shadows, inheritor of a crumbling citadel and a sea of nettles.
I am Titus Grown.
Heir to an empire of red rust, to rituals, footprints ankle-deep in stone.
I am Titus, and I am 10 years old today.
And I am Titus. The child and I are one. He is my past, and this is our history.
The History of Titus Grown by Mervyn Peake, dramatised by Brian Sibley, with Luke Treadaway as Titus and David Warner as the artist. Titus discovers.
In a moment of devilment, I turn my horse through a moss-black arch and gallop into the very heart of the castle.
Down desolate corridors, through empty halls and across vacant vestibules, shattering the silence and scattering the ghosts of Gormenghast.
Ghosts who are but names to the boy Titus.
I live in the Tower of Flint. I am the Death Owl.
Sepulchrave the 76th. My father. His beloved library burned to ashes, his mind gone mad.
This is the hour of my reincarnation. My life is beginning.
Sepulchrave, stifled by feathers, ripped by claws, shredded by beaks, devoured by owls.
Draw near to greet the one who must soon draw near.
Sourdust, master of ritual. Keeper of the laws.
He who will learn to listen for the voices that grind at night from lungs of granite.
Sourdust.
Lungs of blue air.
Suffocated by smoke, seared to the bone, and burnt to ashes in the inferno that was once the library.
Silence! Tell me this, my stenching cherubs. Who am I?
Swelter. Chief chef of Gormenghast.
Man and boy, 40 years. Fair and foul, rain or shine, sand and sawdust, hags and stags done to a turn with a dash of prickling pepper.
Driven by revenge, consumed by hatred, obsessed with murder and killed like a pig on a spit.
And Keda, from the outer dwellings of the Bright Carvers, my foster mother, who cradled me in her arms and fed me with her milk.
He is hungry. Give him to me.
Keda, dark as a topaz, who watched the men who loved her carve one another's deaths.
My lovers have died. I have borne a child. That was all I was waiting for. My life is finished.
Who leapt from a high precipice into a great well of twilight air.
These are the ghosts awakened in the shadowy labyrinths of stone.
An open courtyard filled with sunlight, too violent for ghosts.
Whoa! What's that? Boy? Girl?
No time to tell. For one short moment it stands on the top of a turret, then...
Gone.
Zephyr, a mere breath, runs over the gaunt, harsh spine of Gormenghast's body, dodging through arches, spiralling up hollow towers, finally clasping Titus in a noose of air.
On, boy. On.
With a child's resilience against disappointment, I gallop away towards the future.
And across the courtyard outside the home of Dr. Alfred Prunesqualler and his sister Irma. A curious three-storied house of red sandstone attached to the main bulk of the castle by a flying buttress.
What is that, Alfred? I said, what is that?
Just his young lordship taking his morning ride.
Oh, why does he have to do it outside our window?
Because he's 10 years old, Irma. Have you forgotten what it's like to be 10?
You've been ridiculous, Alfred.
So I am. Will you pass the sugar, my purest unction?
I want to ask you something, Alfred.
Hmm?
What is it, Alfred, that has prevented me from meeting a man who might appreciate and admire me? You might answer that my bosom is somewhat flat, but my neck is long and unblemished, which I would have thought would have been an appealing feature. Hmm? So why is it I am never approached? What have others got that I haven't?
Or, conversely, what haven't they got that you already have?
But my deportment, Alfred, my carriage...
Far too powerful, sweet white of egg. Your carriage scares them off. You terrify them, Irma.
Oh! You've never believed in me. But I can tell you that I am a lady. What do you think I want with men? The beasts. I hate them. Blind, stupid, clumsy, horrible, heavy, vulgar things they are. And you... Oh, one of them. Do you hear me, Alfred? One of them. What have ladies to do with man?
Oh, Lord. Lord. Why, out of all the globe's creatures, should I, innocent of murder, be punished in this way?
I'm once more. Steerfoot never comes to see me anymore. Never.
Steerpike has much to answer for. Targeting a vulnerable heart with his flattering arrows and awakening long-forgotten passions and desires.
Lord Titus!
Whoa! No, not him. Not today.
Your lordship.
What do you want?
This courtesy is very unbecoming in your lordship.
You're always telling me what to do.
In my capacity as aide to Barquintine, master of ritual, I'm charged with ensuring that the immemorial rites are observed and that your lordship discharges those duties demanded of you by tradition and decree.
I'm tired of all these stupid duties. I hate ritual.
We are both servants to the ritual, my lord, because the ritual is the law. If you or I or anyone else were to start taking the law into our own hands, what would become of Gormenghast?
I don't care. I didn't ask to be Titus the 77th. Besides, today is my birthday.
So it is. And I proffer my congratulations to your lordship.
Now, you will return your horse to the stables and go at once to the schoolroom where your professors will doubtlessly be awaiting you.
I hate him. Hate him.
The professor's common room. Air fuscous with a mixture of smells. Stale tobacco, dry chalk, rotten wood, ink, and alcohol. A desk littered with lists, notices, instructions, blue pencils, and a dozen ragged pagodas of buff-coloured copybooks.
Professor Belgrove, recently elected headmaster of Gormenghast School, is using a shaving mirror to examine his teeth.
A fine-looking man, apart from the teeth. Big of head, long-jawed, a nose of undeniable nobility, and a leonine shock of snow-white hair.
Must I what? Explain yourself, Professor Birchprism. You talk like a fall of crockery.
You're a damned old pedant, Belgrove, and much overdue for burial.
Oh.
For pity's sake, stop playing with your teeth.
Birchprism, you are an insufferable upstart. Oh. What the hell have my teeth got to do with you? Be good enough to leave them to me, sir.
Gladly.
What's occurring?
A morning fluke. Belgrove's having trouble with his teeth again.
I happen to be in pain, my dear fellow.
Oh, yeah. You're such a hoarder. You will cling to bygone things. They don't suit you anyway. Get them extracted.
Oh!
Great excitement, novelty and amusement, don't you know?
What are you on about, Cutflower?
We have received an edict to the headmaster and professor.
Damn that filthy, one-legged, grotesque Barquentine and his notices.
Not anyone would think, Mulefire, that you didn't respect the revered master of rituals.
Satan, thrash me purple if you're not right.
Well, read it out, Belgrove, old man.
Edict 1597577 to Belgrove, headmaster, and to the gentlemen of the professorial staff. In respect of Lord Titus, the 77th Earl of Gormenghast, notice and warning is given in regard to their attitude, treatment and methods of behaviour, and approach in respect of the aforementioned Earl.
I spend my birthday in an empty schoolroom, waiting for a lesson to end that never begins.
A picture of tediousness. The monotonous chant of an ancient clock. The ceaseless buzzing of a blue bottle on a window pane. Buzz, buzz. Tick, clock, tick.
This child that I once was, even aged 10, I was burdened with questions.
Buzz, buzz. Tick, clock, tick.
How many seconds in an hour? 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 times 60. Multiply the sixes and add how many noughts? Two, I suppose. 3,600 seconds in an hour.
I stare at the blackboard.
A grey smear, a fog of past lessons. Forgotten figures, forgotten maps. Forgotten languages. Buzz, buzz, tick, clock, tick.
Quarter of an hour left. How many seconds? 4 into 36 goes 9 plus 2 noughts. 900 seconds. Marvellous. Seconds are so small. 1, 2, 3, 4. Seconds are so huge. How many in 10 years?
As they would treat any other minor in their hands, that a sense of the duties attached to every branch of the castle's life be instilled and an indelible sense of the responsibilities which will become his when he attains his majority. Signed, as for Barquentine, Master of Ritual, Keeper of the Observances and Hereditary Overlord of the Manuscripts, by his amanuensis, Steerpike.
What a long time life takes. Sometimes I think it's hardly worth encroaching on.
My aunts, Lady Clarice and Lady Cora, as identical and as abstracted as ever, although no longer in their royal apartments.
Incarcerated in an ugly little room in an obscure precinct of the castle, a remote dead end, an unhealthy promontory of dank stone, the very breath of which is double pneumonia.
Since you've spoken, Clarice, I might as well tell you that you've forgotten something, as usual.
What?
You've forgotten that I did it yesterday, and it's your turn today.
My turn to what?
To comfort me.
Oh.
You can go on doing it to 7:30, and then it will be your turn to be depressed.
It is so very depressing to be queens of Gormenghast, and yet not be able to enjoy the power for which we have waited so long.
And to know that so many of our subjects are dead and dying from that hideous disease.
That terrible weasel plague that Steerpike has told us about, and from which we, alone, among all the inhabitants of Gormenghast, are safe.
But he still hasn't given us our golden thrones.
No!
No!
No! We must demand them.
They are our right!
Our right! Yes! 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 Yes!
Curse me by the sores on my withered leg, if this day isn't...
Barquentine, the master of ritual, a grotesque with one withered leg and a crutch, his beard tangled, dirty and knotted.
A bundle of hideousness with something of the gnome, something of the wasp, something of the scraggy bird of prey, something of the gale-twisted thorn tree.
What do you want, you skin candle?
Their ladyships Cora and Clarice.
Cat's teeth, what about them? Have they been found?
Sadly not, sir. But I think there is nothing to be gained from a further search.
Why, damn your eyes, why?
Because I found a letter in their apartments, written in their hand, which puts an end to any doubt as to what had become of their ladyships.
Letter boy, what kind of letter?
To whomsoever may find this missive, know that Clarice and Cora Groan, driven by grief at the untimely disappearance of their brother Sepulcrae, the 76...
Give me that! Sepulcrae, the 76th. Are determined to leave their forlorn existence within the castle and to put an end to their unhappy lives amongst the ravines of Gormenghast Mountain. Mm. Signed by them on this 22nd day. God's pizzle! Another bloody funeral without bodies. What is to become of the ancient ritual? Well, that is our day's work, my snake-oiled lackey.
Indeed, sir. I will draw up an order of service.
Well, make sure it's in accordance with the statutes. The law is everything.
There is nothing else, sir.
I cannot give the reasons. I only sing the tunes. The sadness of the seasons, the madness of the moon.
My sister Fuchsia, high up in her attic room.
Framed by the window, she is like a miniature masterpiece. The inky black of her hair throwing a shadow across the face, throat and arms that are warm and tawny, yet pale against her crimson dress.
Good afternoon, madam.
Hugh!
May I present my card?
What is this? His Infernal Slyness, the Archfluke Steerpike. How did you get here?
I climbed, hence the rope. The other end is attached to a turret, 7 stories above us, all ready for my return. Nothing like a rope, madam. Better than a horse. Climbs down a wall whenever you ask it and never needs feeding.
You can leave off madaming me. You know my name.
I will never forget to always call you by your proper name and... in a very proper tone of voice, Lady Fuchsia.
You were certainly one for climbing. You climbed here before, remember?
I'll never forget. Or the fact that you gave me sanctuary, helped me escape my servitude in the Great Kitchen, and introduced me to Dr. Prune Squalor.
Yes, Steerpike, you are quite the climber.
Lady Fuchsia.
I was thinking of that other time, when you climbed up the library wall when it was burning and helped us all to safety. How long ago it all seems.
One day, Lady Fuchsia, I will invite you to explore with me the roofs of this great house of yours. Shall we do that?
Yes. Yes. Sometimes, Steerpike, I think you actually care about Gormenghast.
We're all what Gormenghast makes of us, Fuchsia. But for now, I must be going, or old Barquintine will be setting the hounds on me.
Fuchsia, is everything all right? I thought I heard voices. Someone here?
Someone was, Nanny.
Well, where are they now?
Gone.
Who was it, child? You mustn't keep secrets from your old nanny slag.
Steerpike.
Him? Why you would want to have anything to do with him, I don't know.
He repels me with his pale skin, sharp features and blood-red eyes. But he attracts me with his vitality and his air of secrecy and mystery.
What's that, Precious?
Nothing, Nanny.
Oh, it's not right, Fuchsia. He's nothing more than... Where did this come from?
What?
On your dressing table. A rose, if you please. A single red rose.
Alfred, I have decided upon a course of action.
You have?
Yes. I have decided that I wish to throw a party.
A party? But, are you sure? You're not, if I may say so, the type to give a party. You're not even the type to go to a party. You have nothing of the flippancy about you that makes a party go.
I get so tired of the way you say things, Alfred, and I don't really like the things you say.
Nor do I. No, they always sound so stale by the time I hear them. The brain and the tongue are so far apart.
But that's the sort of nonsense I loathe. Are we going to talk about the party, or are we going to listen to your silly souffles?
Then you are determined to have a party.
Unutterably.
And when, pray, is this party to be held?
My gown of 1,000 frills, with its corsage of hand-painted parrots, will be ready within 10 days.
Parrots?
They are brightly coloured birds.
Indeed. But will they chime with the frills, my sweet one?
When it comes to parrots, Alfred, they are my province, I think.
Unquestionably. But consider, what ladies present will have dresses as resplendent as yours?
There will be no women.
No women?
Our guests will all be men. I am thinking of getting married.
You aren't.
I am. I am being wasted. Alfred, wasted.
Oh, my revelation. Tell me this. Who are these males, these stags, these rams, these tomcats, these cocks, stoats and ganders that you have in mind?
The professors.
How are my... purple lovebird.
You haven't been here for a long while.
A very long time.
What happened?
Had you forgotten us?
Had you?
You'll sit down and listen to me.
Had you?
No! Do you think that it's easy for me to keep the plague from your door and to be at your beck and call all at the same time?
No.
No, then do not interrogate me. How dare you snap at the hand that feeds you? How dare you? I shall leave you to contemplate your thoughtlessness and your selfishness.
Clarice?
Yes, Cora?
There is something I should very much like to do.
What is that?
I should very much like to... Steerpike!
So would
I. We could do it together, couldn't we?
Yes, we could. We could do it together.
Yes.
Yes!
Prune Squalor, I have come to speak with you.
My mother, Gertrude.
Come in, your lady.
Countess of Groan. So rarely anywhere but in her castle rooms.
A towering figure, large of head. Her fiery hair, for the most part, built up into a series of red nests while the rest smoulders as it falls in snake-like coils to her powerful shoulders, where it all but hisses.
Prune Squalor, I am not easy in my heart.
Your heart, my lady?
My heart and mind.
In what way are you uneasy?
There is mischief in the castle.
Mischief? Some bad influence, do you mean?
I do not know for sure, but something has changed. My bones know it. There is someone.
Someone?
An enemy. Whether ghost or human, I do not know, but an enemy. Do you understand?
I understand, but it is not a ghost. Ghosts have no itch for rebellion.
Rebellion?
What else can it be that you sense, as you say, in your bones?
Who would dare to rebel? Tell me, Doctor, who would dare? Well, have you your suspicions?
I have no proof. I have only riddles, not answers.
Name them, man. May we not speak openly with one another?
I ask myself, where are the remains of your late husband, the Lord Sepulchre?
More than that, man, more than that. What of the library fire that warped his brilliant brain?
And what of the disappearance of the chef? On the same night as his lordship. And since then, 100 irregularities and strange affairs. And now, the suicide of their ladyships, Clarice and Cora. What lies at the back of all this? By all that's visionary, your heart has reason to be uneasy.
And there is Titus. How old is he now?
He has turned 10. Have you not seen him?
From my window, when he rides along the south wall.
You should be with him. your ladyship, now and then. By all that's maternal, you really should see more of your son.
Prune Squalor, I will not ask where your suspicions lie. No, not yet, but I expect you to watch everything, as I do. You must be all aware, every moment of the day. I expect to be informed of any and every irregularity, wherever it may be found.
Morning, black and murky.
Who's there?
It's me, Fuchsia.
What do you want?
I'm going for a ride.
It's beastly weather.
I don't care.
Don't leave the castle.
Goodbye.
Good morning to you, sir.
To hellfire with your good morning, you peeled switch. You shine like a bloody land eel. What do you do to yourself, eh? Every poxy sunrise of the year, eh? Let you bust out of the decent darkness in that portway.
I suppose it's this habit of washing I seem to have got into, sir.
Washing? Washing? You wireworm. What do you think you are, Mr. Steerpike? A lily?
I'd hardly say that, sir.
Nor would I. Just skin and bone and hair. That's all you bloody are and nothing more. Dull yourself down. Get the shine off you. And no more of this oiled paper nonsense every dawn.
Quite so, sir. I'm too visible.
Not when you're wanted. You can be invisible enough when you want to be, eh? Hag's hell, boy. You can be nowhere when it suits you, eh? By the guts of the great orc, I see through you, my pretty whelp. I see through you.
What, when I'm invisible, sir?
By the piss of Satan, Pug, your sauce is dangerous.
Dangerous? I suppose so. If I were to decide that it was time for that filthy heart of ritual to be plucked out of Gormenghast's mouldering body.
Don't leave the castle before breakfast, Titus. Don't ever go beyond the outer walls, Titus. Don't do this, Titus. Don't do that, Titus.
I am breaking the rules. In my 10-year-old mind, I can only see a future of ritual and pedantry. Something is beating in my chest, yelling in my throat, shouting for rebellion.
I'll show them. On, boy. On. On.
Before me, beckoning me on, a new world.
A landscape alive. White forest lands of high, leafy walls and inner shadows, fold after green fold of foliage undulating to the notched skyline.
I am free! Free! Free!
The party, Alfred, I have been thinking.
You have, my own?
Yes. Do you think we were right to call it a soiree?
There is no law against it that I know of, although the professors of Gormenghast are hardly the types I would associate with the term. Hmm. Have you considered the question of entertainment for your guests?
I will be there.
Oh, no doubt. You will prove ravishing and you...
I am going to have lanterns hanging in the garden so that I can lure those whom I think fit out into the apple orchard.
Good heavens. Well, I hope it won't be raining.
It won't. I defy it to. Alfred, I am a woman. I'll show them I am. The professors should be receiving their invitations today.
Irma and Alfred Prunesqualler hope to have the pleasure of Professor Belgrove's company at an intimate soiree.
Well, here's a bloody turn-up.
Yes. Oh, really, Mulefire, what a way to receive an invitation from a lady.
Yes. Oh, come, come, everyone. Let us all be terribly gay.
Well said, Cutflower. And what does our headmaster think about it all?
My dear Perch Prism, why on earth should you be interested in my reaction? It is possible, when I was a younger man, that I received more invitations to various functions than you have ever received or can ever hope to receive during the course of your life.
No, but we will all accept, of course.
When is it?
Next Friday evening at 7 o'clock, RSVP.
If dear old bloody Belgrove goes, I couldn't stay away, not if I was paid. It would be as good as a play.
No, respect.
Agreed. It'll be just the thing for our headmaster, so it will. Yeah. A wild party at the doctor's.
There. It is ready for his next visit.
He will never see it.
We've arranged it so neatly.
All the ropes and cords carefully strung together.
And out of sight.
He'll never look up there, above the door.
He'll not see what's hanging there.
Not until it's too late.
You'll never know what's hit him.
Are we sure we want to do this, Clarice?
I think so, Cora.
So do I.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The Lord Titus is missing. He has important duties to carry out. You've been grouped into search parties and you each have your designated areas. The entire castle will be scoured from top to bottom. All other work will cease until the Earl has been found. Is that clear? Then go to it!
Now, boy, go home. Go!
At last, I am really free.
I enter a strange new realm.
A canvas of green and gold. Above, high winding branches with gilded fingertips. Ahead, a sea of golden moss.
Suddenly, something high up amongst the trees.
Something slender, exquisite. A distillation of beauty, floating like a feather through the golden air.
The same creature I saw on one of the castle towers.
Wait!
Gone again. What was it?
Have you seen his lordship?
Oh, my poor weak heart. You are forever making a body jump. What do you want?
We're looking for Titus. Where is he?
How should I know? Nobody tells me anything. And he's the Lord Titus to you.
Just be quiet and listen. His presence is imminently required at the ceremony in honour of the poet of Gormenghast. I need to find him.
You have no right to speak rudely to me. I am Mrs. Slag, nurse to the groans. And I might as well be dead, and that's a fact.
You're a foolish old bat who should have died a century ago.
How dare you? How dare you? I know just what you're up to, Master Steerpike.
Yes, I'm looking for a boy who forgets he's an earl.
Oh, I'm not talking about Titus. I'm talking about you trying to worm your way into Lady Fuchsia's affections.
Nanny, what's the matter?
How dare he speak to me like that?
What have you said?
Lady Fuchsia, Mrs. Slag has totally misunderstood me.
Oh!
I merely came to ask both of you whether you'd seen Lord Titus, who's late for his ceremonial duties.
Oh, it's not true, Fuchsia. He's lying.
Mrs. Slag is obviously distressed that Lord Titus is missing.
There, Nanny. It's all right. Titus has gone riding.
Where? Lady Fuchsia.
I don't know. He didn't say. He never does.
Someone coming.
Then I see him, stepping out of the forest shadows.
Hello?
A gaunt creature, tall and thin, scrawny shoulders twisted forward, cadaverous head lowered, thinly bearded jaw protruding.
Those eyes. My lord, you are the Lord Titus.
Yes. Who are you?
Flay.
Flay? Flay? I've heard of you.
Aye, likely enough.
They told me you were dead.
No doubt of it. Alone?
Yes. Why are you out here, Mr. Flay?
Banished. Sent away when you were only... When your father... Your sister, Fuchsia.
She's all right.
Ah. What brought your lordship?
I escaped.
Escaped? Escaped from castle? Wrong. Mustn't do that. You must go back.
Why?
It's your place, lordship. Responsibility.
I don't want it, Mr. Flay.
young to understand. Have you eaten, boy? Are you hungry?
I'm very hungry, Mr. Flay, and very tired.
Take you to my cave. Food, rabbit and pigeon, and a long sleep.
You live in a cave?
Well, have you found them?
The Lord Titus is nowhere in the castle. I'm told he's gone riding.
Oh, black blood! This is the fourth time that that brat has...
No, what?
My lady, this is the fourth time in 6 months that the 77th Earl has absented himself from the...
By the least hair of the child's head, if he should absent himself 100 times an hour, I will not have his misdemeanors banded about in public. My son, Barquentine, is no chattel that you can discuss with your pale lieutenant. Find a substitute for the boy from his schoolfellows. The occasion will proceed.
What are you smirking at, you scabrous little rats?
Nothing, sir.
Well, you heard the ladyship. The ceremony will go ahead. Find another boy to act the Earl.
Another master of ritual is what is really required.
Night. Cave walls leaping to and fro in the red firelight. Outcrops and shelves of stone flinging their shadows back and forth.
I am in the middle of an adventure.
It's like a dream, Mr. Flay. You, this cave. I like it.
Not proper, Lordship. You're being here.
This is my first night away from the castle. I suppose they're all looking for me.
Most likely.
Do you ever get frightened out here, all on your own?
Not frightened, boy. Exiled.
What does it mean? Exiled.
Exiled? Forbidden sacred service. It means to have your heart dug out with its long roots. That's exile.
But you are free, Mr. Flay. I want to be free. I don't want any duties.
You are a grown of the blood and last of the line.
What does that mean?
You are Gormenghast. Gormenghast is you. Can't fail the stones.
I don't care about the stones.
A wicked thing to say, my lord. Mustn't say such things. Now, settle down and sleep.
Mr. Flay, I need to ask you something.
Lordship?
I saw something.
Saw what, Lordship? Lie quiet now.
A thing in the forest.
What kind of thing?
I don't know. A flying thing. Sort of a delicate... But I couldn't see its face. It floated across the trees. Was it real? Have you seen it, Mr. Flo? Tell me, please, because...
Yes, Lordship. It is real.
Morning comes, and I return to the castle.
Yusha! Oh, Titus!
Yusha, I have things to tell you. Secrets.
Secrets?
Yes, and an adventure.
Oh, just look at you. Oh, my wake up.
Look at the lime and the cuts and the bruises and... Oh, I could smack you, you cruel, dirty lordship.
That won't be necessary, Mrs. Slag.
What do you want now? If it's not Fuchsia you're chasing after, it's Titus you're making trouble for.
I'm afraid Mrs. Slag has a very poor opinion of me.
Well, it's true. I know what games you're playing and I'm watching you.
Nanny, please.
Thank you, Lady Fuchsia. I'm afraid his lordship is to appear before Barquentine to explain his behaviour.
Why?
He's committed a serious misdemeanor and must be punished.
Punished? Oh, my poor little lordship.
I very much doubt he'll be too severe.
He winks at me conspiratorially, but I recoil like flesh from the touch of a toad.
I'm not afraid of Barquintine. Or you.
Get washed, my lord. And don't be too long.
The Lycan Fort. A round, squat edifice. The rough stones obliterated by an unbroken blanket of parasitic lichen like a pelt of pale green fur.
6 days. Only one more to go.
My punishment for rebellion. A week's incarceration in this gloomy cell, erected on a distant outcrop of the castle for some purpose long forgotten.
Ah, there you are. How are you, my friend?
All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, give your old headmaster your chair. You can sit on the table, can't you? Yes, of course you can.
Yes, sir.
Now, what am I to do with you? You're being punished, so I'm glad to say there's no need for us to trouble ourselves about that. But what am I to say to you in loco parentis?
I don't know, sir.
I propose to talk to you as man to man. Or even as boy to boy. For I was a young boy myself once, though you mayn't believe it.
No, sir. Well, I mean, yes, sir.
Do you know what I remember most about being a boy?
No, sir.
Well, I'll tell you. Playing marbles.
Oh?
Yeah. The sound of those silly little marbles as they skidded across the ground, striking one another, spinning round and round.
I've got some marbles, sir.
Oh, well, this is an extraordinary coincidence, my boy, because so have I.
Oh, sir, I never thought you'd have marbles.
Oh, let that be a lesson to you, my boy.
Shall we play a game now?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. Yes,
sir. Oh. Good evening, your ladyships.
A portrait of stillness. Clarice and Cora, hand in hand, faces as white as lard, staring.
Did you not hear me? You're not even looking at me. What are you staring at? What's so fascinating? It's something, I think. Ladies. Something above my head. So, an axe. How dare you? How dare you think of raising your hand against me? This is how you would repay my efforts to protect you and raise you up to grandeur, is it? If you suppose such an action will go unpunished, you are mistaken. Was unexpected. I thought there were clay in my hands. Not any longer, it seems. No, the clay is no longer malleable. It's hardened into stone.
Help me, sister. We must put the axe back up over the door.
Won't he be expecting it next time?
No, Clarice, he isn't clever enough to think of that.
He will come back, won't he, Cora?
Of course he will. He has to.
He must.
Yes, he must.
Oh, thank you. Well. Now, oh, what a dreadful place to jail an earl in, by all that's merciless. God bless my spherical soul, but there are two of them.
Oh, hello, Dr. Prune. We are playing marbles.
Marbles, eh?
By all that's erudite, a very fine invention, too. And if your accomplice isn't your headmaster, Professor Belgrove.
Oh, my dear doctor, it is indeed. I felt it my duty to bring what wisdom I have at my command to bear upon his predicament.
Let's have a look at you, Titus. How are you, my little bantam?
All right, thank you, sir. Why didn't you play two, Dr. Prune?
Yeah.
Then we could have three corners.
How do you play three corners? Oh. You know, headmaster?
Indeed, indeed. It is a noble game.
And you shall both teach it me.
Right.
There you are.
Oh, by the way, Belgrove, you are coming to our party, aren't you? You'll be our chief guest, you know, sir.
So I am, sir. And my staff with me. We are deeply honoured.
Excellent, excellent. Now to the game of marbles.
Oh! The beginner's luck.
Well done.
Alfred, is that you? I have been considering necklaces, but have decided that none of them do justice to the length and whiteness of my neck. Only four more days to go, Alfred. I said only four more days to go.
Now then. The entire contents of the doctor's dispensary at my disposal. Aha! Here it is. The very thing. Oh, what a beautiful green it is. The essence of emeralds. Perfection. Beautiful and perfect things. The only joy in a world burdened with ugliness and imperfection. Oh, how it catches the light. A subtle difference as you turn it this way, or that, as vital as sap in spring, as deadly as the ocean depths.
Nanny was very old, and as she was always reminding us, her heart was weak.
I don't feel anything.
Fuchsia, my dear...
Am I wicked? I don't understand.
No, of course not, Gypsy. It's quite natural.
Nothing's natural. Nothing.
What's worrying you, Fuchsia?
Several things. Important things.
Tell me.
Dr. Prune, what happened to my father?
I only know that he was... very ill. You remember that as well as I do. And his disappearance... if anyone alive knows what happened to him, I don't know who that man would be. Unless it would be Flay.
Mr. Flay is alive, Dr. Prune.
No. Why do you say that?
Titus has seen him.
Titus?
Yes, in the woods. He lives in a cave and hunts for his food. Huh. He asked after me. He is very loyal.
Poor old... faithful Flay.
I must see him, Doctor. He loved me.
No, it would do nothing but harm. And the same is true for Titus.
There's more, Doctor.
More?
Titus says he has seen something else.
What sort of thing?
A flying thing, he says. A creature. I don't know what he means. But it reminded me of something Nanny told me once. You remember Keda, who came from the outer dwellings to nurse Titus when he was born?
Yes, of course.
Well, Nanny said when Keda left the castle, she went back to her home and had a baby of her own. And how it wasn't like other babies, and that Keda killed herself.
But what has this to do with Titus?
According to Nanny, the dwellers told stories about Keda's baby growing up and living in the wild, and how they sometimes hear her laughing at night and are afraid of her. And call her the Thing. Nanny said the Thing was Titus's foster sister.
Well, I suppose in a way she is.
When I heard Titus talking about a flying thing in the woods, I wondered. Only I'm frightened for Titus. Oh, Dr. Prune, what are we to do?
A picture of grief the humble setting of the servant's burial ground. A sorrowing figure, kneeling on one knee beside the newly dug grave of Nanny Slag, a hand upon a wreath of dark red roses.
The mourner, or the one play-acting the mourner, Steerpike.
What are you doing here? You never loved her.
I did not know her as you did, your ladyship. But it struck me as so mean a grave for an old lady to be buried in. I was able to get these roses, so I simply thought. But those wildflowers of yours, they're the ones that will please her spirit the most, wherever she is.
I don't know anything about that. It's all nonsense anyway. But you, I didn't think you were sentimental.
Well, there. I'll throw my roses away. You see, like you, Fuchsia, I have my moods.
Why do you say and do these things? How dare you!
Ah!
Oh, your poor face.
Oh, it's nothing. A scratch or two.
I am sorry. Forgive me. Here.
A tableau. Quick as an adder, he is in her arms. She, taut as a bowstring. Heart pounding against his ribs, cheek against his lips. Tripping, they fall.
No.
A tangle of limbs on the earthen bed that is the old nurse's last resting place.
No, not here. Oh, horrible. Horrible. Wrong. Everything's wrong.
Oh. A step closer. Or a step further away. No time to dwell on it. Too much else to occupy my mind today. My next move, and no room for faltering. It will be simple and absorbing.
The salon is finally ready, Alfred. Do you approve?
Hmm?
You will observe the new decoration, Alfred.
Locked up and unused for many years, the salon, after days of dusting, polishing and repainting, shines with a terrible newness.
Alfred, are you listening?
My dear? Yes. Yes, yes. Forgive me, I have things on my mind.
What could you possibly have on your mind more important than our soiree?
Nothing, my dear, nothing.
As I was saying, the trellis...
Merely the endless, fascinating riddle of life and death.
My heart.
A study in candlelight. Barquentine, hair and beard dirty as a fly-blown web, the silted, cheese-like fissures of his filthy face cracking in a scowl, gilded gold by the flickering flame.
By the blood of hell, no earl but a brat. And for me, no tyro but the substat of a Steerpike bastard. He must go. He is finished. Dead. Over. Done with. Who's there? Well, to black hell with you. Come out of the shadows and show yourself.
Dear me, Barquentine. But you can be most uncivil at times.
You, traitor.
You really should be more careful what you say, old man.
I said traitor and bloody traitor you are. Why else would you be coming in here with a drawn sword? By the cock of the great ape, how many others have you helped to the grave's pissworm?
What was it you said? He must go. He is finished. Dead. Over. Done with. It's true. But not me, Barquentine.
You.
First blood.
Even a cripple's crutch can be a weapon. Now you'd have the keys off me with your bloody efficiency, saucy bull prong. It's the truth. And yet, by the blood of Hags, I don't believe you give a fig for the rituals.
You couldn't be more wrong. You view the Law of the Groans as the one true way. I, on the other hand, view it as the way to somewhere I have not yet reached.
Well, my poxy little fiend, before you get there, you'll have to remove me from your path.
Oh, I intend to. And how convenient that you have a candle to hand.
What?
Because I really think your filthy beard is in need of a singe. Don't you? Pardon me, would you? Let go!
Maybe all, but I still have a grip on me.
Get off my back, you vile monster!
No, if I burn, you'll burn.
Let go!
Never!
The window!
I'll ride you down to the very fires of hell.
I'll take that chance!
Night is a square of darkness. For a moment, they are there, lit like demons with their own conflagration.
The nemesis of my childhood, the symbols of all that I hate about Gormenghast.
Suddenly, they are gone, falling down, down, down into the black waters of the moat.
And the walls of the castle, of my imprisoning home, soar like cliffs into the upper darkness of the listening night.
In Titus Discovers, episode 3 of The History of Titus Groan by Mervyn Peake, Gertrude was played by Miranda Richardson, Fuchsia by Olivia Hallinan, and Cora and Clarice by Claudie Blakely and Finella Woolgar. Steerpike was played by Carl Prickop, Dr. Prunesqualler by James Fleet, Irma Prunesqualler by Tamsin Gregg, Belgrove by William Gaunt, and Flay by Adrian Scarborough. Nanny Slag was Jane Whittenshaw, and Barquintine, Gerard McDermott. The young Titus was played by Hugo Docking, the older Titus by Luke Treadaway, and the artist by David Warner, with the voices of Paul Rees, Susie Riddell, and Mark Benton. Other parts were played by Simon Bubb, Jonathan Forbes, James Lely, and Alex Tregear. The music is by Roger Goela. The History of Titus Groan is dramatised by Brian Sibley, directed by David Hunter, and produced by Jeremy Mortimer.
And next Sunday, Steerpike's continued treachery reaches the point where he's forced to show his hand.
Voices from the Old Bailey returns to BBC Radio 4.
Victims, witnesses and accused, many of them illiterate, all told their sorry tale and so reveal the very stuff of life.
On the 30th of July, a little inlicker, I stood leaning on a post in Middle Temple Lane to vomit.
Attacked the parlour window to force it open.
I mean with his knuckles bloody. He said, "We've done for him now. We've set Newgate on fire and let the prisoners out."
Voices from the Old Bailey with Amanda Vickery, this Wednesday morning at 9.